Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Can we just begin to lift up our voices and begin to worship Jesus? Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we praise you. There is no one like you in all the earth. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Mighty One. You are the Great One. There is no one like you in all the earth. All power in heaven and in the earth is given unto you. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify you. We love you. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Kabaros ketu zakata pala bakunde libri ananati. Yakata pakato lekete berrepekato lokotoski. In the li katosko isapandu lakta katoski. Japakato lekete berrekete katonoski. Riandos kotoska ta paride de katosko to paride de gene. Melekete kato borokato katoloskoto. Yakata kato lekete berrege de lekete paya. Malakoske tu parinde leketosko to parinde de kadu. Jakata kato lekete perrepekato logodo badaya. Legedegede brekatosko to parinde leketo brokotoske. Japakandoske tu parinde teketoloske. Liandosko to parinde teketosko to parinde lebedi. Japakato lekete perrepekadaya. Japapako to rokotokotoske. We give you the glory. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Mahandu kasu paradaba. Come begin to welcome the Holy Spirit to this meeting. Let's say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. You are the only changer. You are the only teacher. You are the only transformer. As we behold this day in a glass, the glory of the Lord, let our lives be transformed to that same glory. In the name of Jesus, let the life of Christ be formed in us. In the name of Jesus, let the glory of God be formed in us. In the name of Jesus. Pele perukos kotonaya. Leketepe kundo libriyenenentoske. Jakata parapakaya. As we look into your word, as we look into the mirror of your word, expose ourselves to us. Help us to see all the dirty marks on our faces. Help us to see all the blind spots we did not see. In the name of Jesus, let our lives glorify you. Let our lives honor you. Let our lives please you. When you look down from heaven, may you find in us a child that makes you happy. When you look down from heaven, may you find a son that pleases your heart. When you look down from heaven, may you find a daughter in whom you can commit yourself. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to specially welcome you once again to SGS Teachings. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. I believe that God has been blessing you tremendously. I want to appreciate those who have been leaving words for us of encouragement, giving testimonies, how the teaching of God's word has changed their lives, and those who have received a miracle, who have received their healing. Thank you so much for giving us feedback. The Lord honor you in the name of Jesus. It's an encouragement. Hallelujah. You know, whether there's encouragement or not, we keep on moving, but you know, when there is encouragement, you know, there's a good thing it does to your heart, and it's like it fires you up to want to do more. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So we've been on this long series. This is the 16th teaching in this series, but within this series there has been different milestones. We've started talking about he who has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We read from the book of Revelations. And several ministers of God came to speak to us. Apostles, evangelists, fathers of faith, friends in the Lord. They spoke to us very powerfully
attacking this teaching from different angles. And you know, if you miss some of these teachings, you may need to go to our Telegram group so you can access them. Hallelujah. Then by the time they finished, I returned to begin to talk about the same topic again. And then I began to read the letters that Jesus sent to the churches. And I showed us that the very first thing that Jesus told all the churches, after he introduced himself to the churches, the very first thing he told them is, I know your works. And why many Christians do not pay attention to their work, it is important that as Christians we pay, if the very first thing he said to each of the churches is, I know your works, then it means the matter of works must not be taken with levity. And we've devoted series of teachings to talking about works. We've talked about the reason why the foundation is very important in the work of a Christian. We did that. We looked at the importance of the foundation. We showed us that one of the biggest problems that many believers face in their Christian life is traceable to their foundation. It is many times, it is not what they are doing later on that is their problem, but because their foundation is not well set. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Then we talked about the pillars. After we've laid the foundation, then we talked about the three pillars that you must build, that must be in your structure. The three pillars that the Bible says, even when everything that is about your work may be destroyed, these three pillars will remain, will abide, will remain strong. And then we devoted three teachings to talking about the three pillars of your Christian work. If these three things are not present in your work will burn on the last day. And now we are starting a new topic, talking about the six types of Christian works. So the six types of Christian works. And where did you come about this? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 6. Now this teaching will show you the kind of work you are offering to God and will help you to know how valuable your work before God is. And you know, this teaching may seem like, why are we talking about work so much? But these are things that, these are topics that we are taking that are really, really basic. They may not be teachings you get to hear on an average Sunday morning in your churches. But our work is primarily to grant you spiritual stability. And that is why we are really, really dealing with these things. We don't want you to be surprised on the last day. I did a teaching many years ago, I think probably 7 years ago, or about 6 years ago, on a cry from hell. I thought I was born again. Eventually, that teaching evolved into a book. And that teaching was born out of a passion for people who claim they would think that they are Christians and they are not. And then in that book, I was able to highlight 7 litmus tests, 7 tests that can show you if you are a Christian. Because remember those guys, they said, Lord, Lord. They called him Lord and they said, we know you, but he said, I did not know you. So it is possible for you to get to heaven to only to be surprised. You thought you knew God. You thought because you were a member of a church, you bear a Christian name, because you pay your tithe, you think that God knows you. And in that book, I highlighted 7 things that can help you to know your state before you die. And that same thing we are doing through this teaching. We are showing you, now you are a child of God, now you are a Christian. But if you don't want your work to burn on the last day, these are things you need to pay attention to. These are things that you need to know. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 6. Paul was speaking, he said, I have planted, Apollos have watered, but only God will bring the increase. Okay, so here he is likening the church, the Christian, to a plantation. Okay, so he continues, and so neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Verse 8. He said, but now he that planted and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. So you see, let me read verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So you see, he likened a child of God to a vineyard and also to a building. And he said, personally for me, I planted, I came, I did the planting. Another minister of God came and did the watering. He said, but eventually God will bring the increase. So it's the same work. It is a collective work. It is a combination of several. Some of you have been blessed not only through SGS, you've been blessed in your churches, you've been blessed by several ministers of God that God is raising at this point in time. So each of these ministers are either planting or watering or planting or watering or planting or watering. Everyone is doing something. As you are listening and following, they are planting, they are watching. So it's a collective work. There is no singular man of God that has all the revelation of God. No. God made it deliberate that no single person can have everything. So you have to have that universal approach to the body of Christ. Don't be rigid. If you can come to understand that this person is a man of God, is a minister of God, then be ready to eat from them. Don't discriminate. Hallelujah. It is a collective work. Glory to Jesus. But one thing we need to see and understand is that despite the fact that the work is collective, the work is deliberate, the result of the work is not the same. Hallelujah. The result of the work is not the same. Remember the parable of the sower in the book of Mark chapter 13. The Bible says the sower went to sow. He went to sow, and while he went to sow, the power of the seed is the same. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The power of the seed is the same. The quality of the seed is the same. But when he sowed his seeds, the Bible says that seed fell on six different types of ground. Read your Bible. Six different types of ground. There was one that fell on the wayside. There was one that fell among thorns. There was one that fell among stones, among rocks, on the soil that have rock under it. Then there was one that fell on the ground that yielded 30. Then one fell on the ground that yielded 60. 60 folds. Then one fell on the ground that yielded 100 fold. Six different types of ground. So you see, it is not all about the labor of the ministers. It is not all about the labor of the preachers. Many times, and Jesus showed us through the parable of the sower, that it is the state of the heart of each of these six categories that determined what is going to come out of them. Hallelujah. And just like you also see today, let's read verse 10. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me,
Yeah.
Say, wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another builds on it. Say, but let every man take heed how he builds. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus. Now, if any man shall build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Hallelujah. Now, if you read this carefully, you will also notice that there are also in this place six types of building materials. We have gold, we have hay, we have gold, we have precious stones, we have silver, we have, hallelujah, we have wood, we have hay, and we have stone. Six different types of materials. And among these six different types, if you look at it closely as an overview, you can categorize them also into two folds. Just like in the parable of the sower, we can categorize those six into two. There are the first three that are bad, that yielded no results, and there is the other three that yielded results. But among that three, there is still one that is the best. We are the 30, we are the 60, we are the 100. Hallelujah. So also, among the building materials, we have two categories. Category one, gold, silver, precious stones. Among them, there is the senior. Category two, we have wood, we have hay, we have stubble. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Remember also in the parable of the 10 virgins, two categories. We have the five foolish, we have the five wise. There is always that divide, even among the body of Christ. There is always that divide. It is your own choice to determine what side of the divide that you want to be. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest, because the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hallelujah. Now, the wonderful thing about these building materials is that they are not tested by their beauty. They are not tested by how large they are. They are not tested by how pleasing to the eye they are. They are not tested by how relevant they are. They are not tested by how useful they are. That's it. Please take note. They are not tested by how useful. It's not about how useful. It's not about how large. It's not about how great. It's not about how beautiful. The Bible says the work shall be tested by fire. It shall be tested by what? By fire. As time goes on, you understand more. By the time we start talking about all these materials one by one and show you the kind of Christians that are like this. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So the Bible says, it shall be tested by fire. Now see verse 14. It says, if any man's work shall abide. Remember that we read, if you follow that teaching, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, that says, this thing shall abide. If you remember, that's the same word abide you see here. If any man's work shall abide after it has been fired. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Let's read verse 16. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you see, he's telling them that I am not talking about somebody else. I am talking about you, the Christian. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So we are talking about the building of your spiritual life, not somebody else. We're going to pause in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that's like an overview of what we'll be looking at. We'll be looking out at these six types of Christian works, and which will help you. Are my works built of stubble? Are my works built of hay? Are my works built of wood? Are my works built of precious stones? Are my works built of silver? Are my works built of gold? Through these teachings, we will bring the counsel of God to you on this matter. The Bible says, if we judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, we will not be judged. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. The Bible says, examine yourself. It is important that we hear teachers like this that helps us to examine and x-ray our spiritual life. Know where you stand. Don't wait until the last day before you know your stand. You can know today. You can know what God thinks about your work today. You don't need to wait until the white throne judgment for you to know. And the scripture is here to show us the mirror of God's word. When we look into the mirror of God's word, God shows us what he sees. How he sees us, he shows us through his word. Hallelujah. Without wasting time, let's talk about gold. The gold Christian. We spend more time talking about gold because gold is the highest. Gold is the ideal Christian. Gold is the Jesus kind of Christian. So we talk more about this. Others will now begin to touch as time goes on. And we begin to compare them also with gold. Hallelujah. Shortly, let's talk about the physical characteristics of gold. Number one, gold is ductile and malleable. What does that mean? Gold is the most ductile element, the most ductile metal. What does ductility mean? Ductility means that you can pull it apart for as long as possible and it will not reach breaking point. You can pull it as long as you can. As long as you can. And it won't reach breaking point. That's good for you. Scientists tell us that you can pull gold to as tiny as 0.2 millimeter. I don't know if you know how small that is. The thickness of a grain of rice is about 2 millimeter. So you can know what I'm talking about. The thickness of a grain of rice is about 2 millimeter. Now, think about 0.2 millimeter. That is like dividing a grain of rice by thickness, not the width. You know, a grain of rice is long and it has thickness and it has height. So I'm talking about that thickness. That thickness is about 2 millimeter. The height of a grain of rice is about 4 millimeter. But the thickness is about 2 millimeter. Now divide that thickness into 10. Then you can see how thin you can pull out gold and it will not break. Gold is also malleable. Malleable in the sense that it can be flattened out to a very thin sheet and it still be useful. Hallelujah. It can be flattened out so much. In fact, scientists believe that it can be like you can flatten out a sheet of gold to as small as 0.18 micrometer. I don't know if you know how small that is. That is like dividing a grain of rice by 1,000. That is how flat you can flatten out gold. And there is no other element on the face of the earth with that kind of characteristics. Hallelujah. Number two, we go to the spiritual implication after. Let me just list out the physical characteristics. As I'm speaking, some of you are picking some things already spiritually. Because you are Bible scholars, you are beginning to understand. Even before I start telling you what this parable means, you're already getting an understanding. Number two, there is no other element on the face of the earth that measure up to gold in beauty and characteristics. If you speak about the innate beauty and the characteristics that gold alone possesses, there is no other element on the face of the earth that measures up to gold. Number three, gold does not tarnish nor corrode. It remains in a perfect condition over millenniums. You know what that means? Gold is that metal, Kaya Badaya, that does not corrode. Whether you expose it to heat or expose it to rain, it does not rust. It remains in that perfect condition. If you like, keep it under the water. If you like, lock it up somewhere. Gold maintains its characteristics. Gold maintains its composure. Gold will never tarnish, will never corrode, even after thousands of years. Number four. Gold is easily alloyed with other metals. Gold is that special metal that can be easily combined with other metals. So if you want to mix gold with other metals, mix with silver, mix with brass, mix with copper, mix with this or that, gold is always cooperating. That's gold for you. Number five, to achieve better purity, gold is allowed to go through fire refining. That's gold. The Bible says that the earth declares the glory of God and the firmament sing his praises. God did not put these things for us just for nothing. He put them so that we can know, we can have an understanding of what is happening in the spiritual world. The physical world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Romans chapter 1. Paul said, the things that are, they speak to the conscience of those who do not believe. I just paraphrased. So the things that God created, they are created with a message to communicate to us spiritual things. So gold, to achieve purity, higher purity, it is allowed to go through fire. Number six and the last. Gold conducts heat and electricity like no other metal. Copper, many of us know that copper conducts electricity. Silver also conducts, most of our wires are made of copper. Silver also conducts electricity. But I tell you, no other element conducts electricity and conducts heat like gold. Hallelujah. It's gold outlasts every other metal. Glory to Jesus. Now let's go to the spiritual significance, so that you know the attitude to pursue in Christ Jesus. You know the work to pursue. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus told the church, the Laodicean church, he didn't say, buy of me silver or buy of me precious stone. What did he tell them? He said, buy of me gold tried in fire. We get there. You know, you need to understand that the very first valuable, the very first metal that was ever mentioned in the Bible was gold. Genesis chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. The very first valuable mentioned in the Bible is gold. Very first metal mentioned. Very first treasure mentioned is gold. And needless to say, the last that was mentioned in the Bible also is gold. Revelation 21, verse 21. The last to be mentioned is gold. The first to be mentioned is gold. What is that telling you? Pay attention to gold. So let's talk about these characteristics in the light of the scripture. We said gold is ductile and malleable, soft and easy to work on. They are Christians that are easy to mold in the hand of God. God Christians, they are works that are made by God that is easy for Him to mold. They are not rigid. They are surrendered to the hand of God. God can pull them right or left. If God tells them, Mr. Man, go right. And then 3 days later, God said, no, don't go right again. Go left. They are ready. God does not insist in His own way. God is surrendered to God. Hallelujah. That's gold. There are Christians that are truly furnished. 2 Timothy 3:17. Truly furnished unto all good works. No matter what God wants to make out of their lives, gold is ready. God is available in the hand of God to be used for all of His counsels. God is truly furnished to all good works. So if you want to make gold into a cup, very easy. If you want to say, no, I don't want a cup again, let Him make it into a jewel, it is ready. No, let me make gold I don't want cup anymore. Now I want this gold to be made into a tray. Gold is ready. You say, no, I want this gold to be made into a monument. Gold is ready. That's gold. Gold is easily led by the Spirit of God. Not only that, God is a prepared vessel that is available. When God says, Ananias, where are you? God says, here I am. Whatever it is you want me to do, send me. If you want me in the jungle, I am ready. If you want me in the prison, I am ready. If you want me in politics, I am ready. Whatever it is you want for me, I am ready. Gold goes all out and do the max. A gold Christian, they don't settle for less. They are ready to be conformed to the maximum. They want the will of God to the maximum, irrespective of what it will cost them. If it requires that they are pulled, if it requires they are beaten, if it requires that they are pressed, it requires that they are melted, they don't care. All they want is whatever the masters want for me. That's all I want. So on that day, when God begins to celebrate the Hall of Fame, you know why God is celebrating them. The Christians that will be primarily displayed in heaven, they are good Christians. It's not about size. Remember what you read? The Bible says, of what sort it is, not of how large it is, not of how beautiful, but of what sort it is. God is willing to do the will of God without complaint, without hesitation, with the least possible imperfection. God is ready. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. There are believers who capitalize on service and not only sitting to reap the benefit of sonship. See, my father loves me. My father loves me. If you forgive me my sin, and that is true. My father loves me. We provide my needs. That is true. My father loves me. We do whatever I want. That is true. But then, when will you become a vessel prepared for honor? Like Paul. Every time Paul introduces himself, what does he call himself? He said, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. A sold out to Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, buy of me gold. If you read, I think it's John 11, where Jesus said, Learn of me, for I am meek. I am meek and lowly in heart. One characteristic of God Christians, despite the fact that they are spiritually high, despite the fact that they are closer to God than anybody else, God Christians remain compassionate. God Christians, they have a very large heart. They are soft in heart. They are soft in heart. They are compassionate. They are humble. Say, I am meek and lowly in heart. They don't use their power to oppress others. Rather, they use their power to bless others. The Bible says, as a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. That's a good Christian. Despite that you have the power to deal with somebody, good Christian can choose to withdraw that hand. They are meek. They are compassionate. They are lowly in heart. Hallelujah. and need to know that gold is not free. Jesus did not say, ask of me gold, try the fire. No, no, no. Jesus said, buy of me. You have to buy it. Salvation is free, but gold is not free. There is something you must bring to the table. There is something you must offer God for you to get the value of gold in your life. There is something you must present to God so that the gold life can proceed out of you. Jesus said, come and buy of me. Revelation, book of Revelation 3. Same verse 11, if I'm sure. I don't know if I'm sure. Come and buy. It is not free. And don't even think that you need to buy it with your money. No. In that, what does Jesus want to do with your money? He doesn't need your money. What God needs from you to enter into the business of buying gold is to come with your self-denial, to come carrying your cross, to come following. The Bible says, my son, give me your heart. That's how you get gold. You come with a surrender, a life of self-denial. The more you deny yourself, the more you receive from heaven. But it is they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will exchange their strength for God's strength. As you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, God will begin to garnish your life with the gold of his kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you get gold. It takes a life that is surrender. You must offer yourself. If you have not offered yourself, then you can't buy gold. What God wants first is not your work. What he wants is not your effort. What he wants first is an offering of yourself. And say, Jesus, here I am. All of my life, all of my ambition, all of my hopes, all of my plans, I give into your hands. A total surrender. A total humility. And say, Jesus, I can't run my life the way you want. I need you to come into my life and be the Lord. How many Christians have made Jesus their Savior, but refused to make him Lord? Jesus said, how will you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? Hallelujah. Good Christians are difficult, nearly impossible for you to take to reach their breaking points. They are the Christians that say, no, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. No. When they take it today, tomorrow, come to them, they are still ready to take it again. Because their life is healed with Christ in God. They are not running with their own strength. They are running with a strength that is divine. That's a good Christian. That is the characteristics of ductility and malleability. It's easy for you to make gold into whatever it is you want because it is easily malleable. Despite the fact that it is strong and hard, it is at the same time malleable. How beautiful. Number two, gold Christians are beautiful. Gold Christians are what? They are beautiful. The beauty of a gold Christian is not necessarily external, but they are beautiful in the face of their God. They live in the face of God. Beautiful. When God the Father declared Jesus as beautiful, he said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This one is exceptionally beautiful in my sight. When I look at this one, I see a mighty beauty." At that moment, he had not healed the sick. He had not raised the dead. He had not preached anything. The Bible says, then from that time forth, Jesus began to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew chapter 3. So up until his baptism, Matthew chapter 4. Up until his baptism, Jesus never preached. Yet God says, "This one is beautiful in my sight." So you see, they are beautiful within. Hallelujah. There is a revered man of God I respect so much. You know, who said something that was trending recently. That people who don't like you, they just don't know you. And I saw a lot of people putting it on their status. People who don't like you, they just don't know you. If they knew you, they would have loved you. And what he said is correct, because he's saying it of himself. But sister Cinderella, can we say that of you? Is it not when we come closer to you that we begin to say, sister, so you are like this? If we are seeing you from afar, we respect you. Such a loving heart, such a godly sister, such a wonderful sister. How we wish that we never tried to come closer. How we wish that we did not try to know you, because immediately we started trying to know you, we discovered that everything we were seeing before was fake. So before you join them to say that you don't like me because you don't know me, let's ask you, who are you? Can you marry somebody like you? Can you live with somebody like you? For God Christians, even if they look like brass from afar, when you come close, when you open their center, you will discover that everything I saw on the outside is also on the inside. People get married today to somebody they consider the most wonderful woman in the world. But then, they took her home and then knew her. Somebody else married somebody. This is a very mighty man of God. I love, I can die for him. I will live for her. In fact, they are ready to kill anybody that said they should not marry him. But then they go to his house. They spent 6 months. They spent 1 year. And they begin to regret. You know why? Because they are not good Christians. When you meet good Christians, the beauty you see on the outside is also on the inside. John, verse 2. He says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper." The prosperity of their outside is directly proportional to the prosperity of their inside. Beautiful souls Whether you meet them at work, on the streets, in the market, in the church, you meet the same beauty. They are not shouting hallelujah on Sunday morning and cursing somebody on Monday morning. Get out of my front, you this blind man. If you can't drive, can't you park your car somewhere? But they are raising holy hands on Sunday. God Christians, they are beautiful on the inside. The closer you are to them, the more you come close to them, the more pleasing they are to you. I know people that say, I prefer not to get close to all these pastors. I prefer not to get close to them. Because by the time you get close to them, you begin to see a lot of errors, a lot of mistakes, because they are also human beings. Yes, they are human beings. But God expects that for you, for a good Christian, for a good man of God, for a good minister of God, the closer you get to them, the more you should love them. The more you should celebrate the grace of God upon their life, the deposits of God upon their lives. Hallelujah. Their beauty came through the fire. The beauty of gold is not cheap. That beauty came out of fire. So the beauty is lasting. That beauty began in the secret place. That beauty was formed over time. So the closer you are to them, if you like, subject them to fire. If you like, subject them to rain. If you like, subject them to heat. What would you find? Beauty. You will never hear a vile word come out of their mouth, because on their inside is beauty. No matter how much you puncture an orange, it is what is inside it that will come out. A sweet orange will never produce sour orange, sour taste, because it was stabbed. No! The more you stab this orange, the more the sweetness in it will come out. So they have established their beauty before God. Some of them may never look beautiful on the outside before men. Some of them. But they are content. They are satisfied that they are beautiful before God. God is their sufficiency. The opinion of God over their life matters to them most. And if God calls them beautiful, they are satisfied. For most people, the beauty on their inside comes to the outside, because God's presence in their lives will begin to produce results in their outward life. On the outward year, you begin to see that beauty displayed. You see that in the life of Abraham. Abraham was so beautiful that people saw that this one has been with God. That a king came to him and pleaded and said, please, let's make an agreement that you and I will always be friends, because I have seen that there is something beautiful about your life, and this beauty is not natural, it is divine. Same king came to Isaac again and said, I thought it was only your father that carried this grace, but I looked at your life, I saw also that the Lord is with you. Please, let us make a covenant to be friends forever. About Jacob in the house of Laban. Laban said, he said, I have seen that the Lord has blessed me because of you. There is a presence in your life that commands blessings. There are those who get beautiful by the hands of men. There are those who get beautiful by the will of men. But there are those whose beauty was born out of God. Joseph in the house of Potiphar. The man looked at him, he discovered that God is with him. That's what the Bible says. He discovered that God made everything he does to prosper. And what happened? That beautiful bounty granted him favor. Who does not like something beautiful? And when he was moved from Potiphar's house to the prison, the Bible says the keeper of the prison also looked at Joseph and saw that this one carried something. That is a beauty that came from within. Irrespective of where we told them, that beauty will manifest. But for good Christians, whether men consider them beautiful or not, they don't care. Because for Abraham, that says, and God blessed Abraham. He was rich in cattle, rich in a lot of things. But for somebody like Paul, they are still content. So whether they are rich physically or not, it's still material. What matters most is that they are rich before God. That is why it was easy for Abraham to offer his son to God. It was easy for him. Because God is his sufficiency. He is secured in the fact that God considers him beautiful. Our time is fast spent. We'll continue from here next week. We are only able to handle two of the characteristics of gold. Next week, we will take the remaining. In the meantime, can you bow down your heads wherever you are and just speak to God? Say, Lord, let this teaching not be in vain in my life. Let this teaching not be in vain. I want to strive for the price of your high calling. In the name of Jesus. I want to be the best spiritually. Many of you are striving only to be the best in your career. And while that is good, the only problem with that is that when you die, that's where it ends. Some of you, even before you die, it has already ended. Some of you have reached the peak of your career. There is no going up anymore. You strived, you paid, went to school, struggled, traveled there and there just to get a certificate that cannot last you for more than 50 years. How about getting a certificate that will last you for eternity? Why not strive for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Say, Lord, I am going for the best. I am going for the best. I'm going to make my meat to do your will and to finish it. I'm going to make you my only pursuit. Whether I live or I die, I'm going to make you alone my ambition. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. Hallelujah. We're going to just bless you. Everyone at the sound of my voice who is under the yoke of sickness, lay your hands wherever you are right now. I break that yoke in the name of Jesus. The Bible says we will lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. Everyone under the heavy yoke of ulcer, of ache, of pain in the head, of headache, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Kabakus katipa rando kosunaya rapakot ketopenin de livina hando dokotokoto. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are healed right now. Check yourself. I'm talking to you. Yes, you. You are healed right now. That child is healed right now. Check the child in the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory be to your name. Honor be to your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. We need to just make today's teaching very snappy because of other engagements. Join us again next week. We are just starting. And trust me, this teaching will transform your life. I believe you've learned a thing or two. And now you can begin to pattern your life in a different way than ever. If you've been blessed, share your testimony, blessed by the teaching, or healed. Share your testimony with us. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you. I saw somebody in my heart just now who is going to receive a miracle before the end of tomorrow. You're going to receive a miracle. There's something you've been waiting on God for. And I saw in my heart right now that package is delivered into your hands. And by tomorrow, we'll be looking forward to hear your testimony. The Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. See you next week. Shalom.